This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter. And if you heard our Next Generation Aesthetics episode, you'll have heard Dr. Sophie touch upon skin boosters. We said we'd do a dedicated episode for these, and here it is. Dr. Sophie explains, firstly, the benefits.
They last for a period of months to even up to a couple of years.
As well as some of the things to bear in mind.
It's not as simple as that.
If you're not too sure how to choose the right booster, Dr. Sophie will give you a bit of a steer.
And for me, where polynucleotides really stand out is the fact...
And she'll explain exactly what polynucleotides are. And finally, how about this for a reason to try skin boosters?
My makeup just goes on like a dream.
So the question is, are you ready for skin boosters yet? Well, let's find out. Right, skin boosters. And I feel like I need such an education on this one, Sophie. So can we start with the basics? What are skin boosters and what can they do?
We have so many different types of skin boosters on the market now, and it can be a very noisy space and quite confusing for a consumer. There's a lot, isn't there?
Yeah.
So skin boosters are a family of injectables that kind of sit on their own. So for a long time, we had wrinkle relaxation injectables and we had fillers, and there wasn't really much that just focused on skin, but this is where skin boosters come in. And they're great for helping to create radiance, glow, and to support skin health and softening any fine lines.
Yeah.
Some of them have really high doses of hyaluronic acid, and some people might refer to those as injectable moisturizers, although actually many of them do an awful lot more than that. And skin boosters have evolved an awful lot. We also now have polynucleotides, which fall into a skin booster category. And these are regenerative injectables, which help to stimulate the production of new proteins in the skin. So collagen and elastin, as well as hyaluronic acid. For me, where polynucleotides really stand out is the fact we can use them around the eye. Because with hyaluronic acid-based products, it's often associated with a bit too much puffiness around the eye. And the polynucleotides above and beyond hyaluronic acid also have anti-inflammatory, antioxidant properties. So that's why, you know, in terms of regeneration and anti-aging, they can be of huge benefit because they can also help improve skin conditions like rosacea. And so I would say most skin boosters fall into the basic groups of either being based on hyaluronic acid or based on polynucleotides.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also that maybe different ones are good for different areas because we can use these on other body parts. Or also for a lot of people, it's a great place to dip your toe. If you're anxious about doing anything that might change your face, skin boosters are often a really great place to start because you're just boosting the health of your skin. But I think at the moment, I don't envy people trying to figure out what's right for them.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about brands, the one brand that I've known of for a while is Profhilo, because I know that you've mentioned Profhilo, but even before we met, I'd heard of it because I recall reading this article in American Elle magazine online where a load of dermatologists were recommending their super rich clients fly to London to have Profhilo because, of course, it was available here before it was available there.
Yeah.
And I will link into that article. So yeah, brands, which do you work with? Which do you recommend and why?
Yeah, so I guess let's start with Profhilo because actually even now, Profhilo is not available in the USA yet. And is because the FDA, who regulates medicines and products in America, the process to get that registration is often very lengthy, upwards of 5 years in some cases. So Profhilo is definitely one of my favorites. A lovely icing on the cake treatment. It's one that I have religiously. And it is based on pure hyaluronic acid. So it's actually classed as a bioremodeling product because it can generate this tightening and lifting effect, which is also by virtue of the fact it does stimulate collagen and elastin. It contains 32 milligrams per milliliter of hyaluronic acid, which is one of the highest available ones on the markets. And they have studies about their production of collagen and elastin, and they're constantly committing to research and development. So they have data on the regeneration of fat cells. I guess another big one that I use, or we use in clinic, is Chroma Fillart, which is just a brand of polynucleotide. And there are several different brands available. And this is one, again, that we're using a lot of. They have a great portfolio of different products. I also use a lot of Volite, which in the US is called SkinVive. And this is actually a cross-linked hyaluronic acid. So we inject it within the skin and it stays there for 6 to 9 months, helping to nourish and to moisturize. And we get lovely results with that. And another one we use a lot for different indications is Viscoderm Hydra Booster. And this is great for lines in areas that we move. So when someone, for example, isn't a great candidate for wrinkle relaxation in their forehead, Viscoderm tends to be my go-to, and it's brilliant around the mouth as well. So what you can tell from what I've said there is I have a few on my shelf, all of which have their own little place. So depending on the patient in front of me, we're not going to get confused over which one's the right one for them. Yeah. There are loads that we don't stock. And it's not to say they're good or they're not good products. That's not me casting judgment. It's me saying there's so many available. It would make absolutely no sense for us to have everything on our clinic shelf.
Yeah, makes sense. Going back to the Viscoderm Hydra Booster, when you said that's maybe quite a good option for people that for whatever reason can't or don't want to use a wrinkle relaxer on their forehead, does it have a similar impact as a wrinkle relaxer would?
They're different. So wrinkle relaxation isn't always going to treat lines that are there at rest anyway. Now, the problem with wrinkle relaxation in the forehead is that for some people, they really depend on the activity in that forehead muscle to raise their eyebrows. So especially people who've got heavy eyebrows and heavy eyelids, they tend to raise their eyebrows a lot so that they're mechanically lifting them. Now, if I suddenly reduce their ability to do that by injecting wrinkle relaxation, they're going to look and they're going to feel heavy and tired.
Yeah.
So it's often a balancing act. And what we have to remember is that people who are heavy on the eyelids and are raising their eyebrows a lot are often going to have deeper lines, and they'll present into a clinic with those horizontal forehead lines as a major concern. But by injecting them with wrinkle relaxation, we'll often make it worse and not better. They might have no lines, but they're going to hate the feeling of their heavy eyelids. Yeah, and this is where the balancing act comes in. So with the Viscoderm, we can really effectively lift out those more ingrained lines without affecting the muscle function at all. So I often use it in combination with wrinkle relaxation in other areas so that we can achieve a gentle lift while still reducing the lines that are bothering them.
Brilliant. So I was going to ask you, if you had to pick one skin booster, what brand would you choose and why? But I think what you're saying is actually, is they all do different things and it depends on the person in front of you. But is it unusual for you to have a client for whom they would have more than one on a regular basis? And if so, are there two that pair together particularly well? Or is that not how you do it?
Do you know, actually, we often combine because of exactly what I've said about different areas benefiting from different products. So a really common combination that we do is using either Profilo or Volite in the skin of the face, combined with polynucleotides around the eyes. That's something we'll do very commonly. And there are also some other ones which are really good for around the eye area, but work slightly differently. Or Viscoderm, as I said, we might use in a forehead, and we might use Profilo or polynucleotides in the face. It is really difficult because I wish there was a one-size-fits-all approach where I could say, this is the only skin booster you need on your shelf, or this is the only skin booster you should go in and ask about. It's not as simple as that. And you'll find many of us have different products on the market on our shelves. But I also think there's such a thing as there being too many. Some brands have come to market without necessarily having the clinical data, trying to jump on a bandwagon. Other brands I think are amazing and I'm just starting to learn about and will be adding to my portfolio in due course.
Yeah, Okay. And I love what you said about the fact that they are a nice way in for people that maybe are a little bit anxious about injectables, because of course they are injectables, and I'm going to get onto that in terms of the actual experience, but they don't change your face in quite the same way as maybe fillers can or wrinkle relaxers potentially can. So it's like a nice baby option to sort of ease into. The other big question is how long before you'll see results? And also tacked onto that, what's the downtime?
So it varies from product to product a little bit, because, for example, polynucleotides will often do 3 or 4 sessions spaced 2 weeks apart. Profhilo will do 2 sessions spaced 4 weeks apart. Mm-hmm. Sunacos, which is another brand we've not mentioned yet, but one I'm quite excited about, which has various amino acids, great for areas that need a lighter touch, like the eye area. That one often can need, again, multiple sessions. So as a rule, I would say for most of these products, you're going to get an immediate glow that disappears quite quickly. And you might think, oh, well, that didn't do much for me, but it's going to come back. And the real longer term result comes from the stimulation of your body to produce collagen, elastin, hyaluronic acid. And so that takes time. I will always say 4 to 6 weeks after your final treatment is where you're going to appreciate full results. Okay. And downtime really varies. For example, after Profhilo, you tend to look a little bit bee stung, because we deliberately inject them in. You want the product to be more superficial because you're targeting the skin. But you do go, especially on the neck, it can be a bit more visible. Usually only for that day, and then by the next day it's settled down significantly. There are others, like when you use polynucleotides by doing fine injections with a needle, and there are many different techniques depending on what we want to achieve. Those bumps can last a little while. So, and of course, there's always the possibility of a bruise. So we have to plan carefully. And if we're planning towards an event, I'll always say, make sure that event is at least 4 to 6 weeks after the final treatment of your initial course. And of course, it's never going to be your final treatment, because all of these treatments need maintenance. And there are different ways we can do that as well.
So yeah, the actual experience, so yes, it is an injectable we're talking about. So we're using needles. Are we talking the same level of pain or needle discomfort as wrinkle relaxers or fillers? For some people, there isn't much needle discomfort for those two things anyway. So what's the actual experience like?
Different. I would say that I find skin boosters personally a little bit more uncomfortable than both of those. But that's because, for a couple of reasons, when wrinkle relaxers should be very minimally uncomfortable, there should be the odd needle prick, but nothing more. When it comes to fillers, they contain lidocaine, which is a local anesthetic, and we usually inject them more deeply in the face. Mm-hmm. When we're injecting skin boosters, these don't contain lidocaine, and we're injecting them within the skin. And in some cases, we're injecting a reasonable amount within the skin, and that stretch can be quite stingy. The thing I would say is it's very short-lived. Most of my patients before any sort of skin boosters, especially if it's going to involve multiple injections, will have anesthetic cream applied. And it's really minimal when it's done well. But I would say it's different experience than anti-wrinkle injections or fillers.
And how long roughly would it take to do?
It can vary from some of them around 15 minutes. There are others where we're doing more injections across the whole face, which can take about half an hour.
And I've actually heard that Profhilo isn't usually used on the forehead. Can you explain why?
So there are patients along the way that I've treated with Profhilo on the forehead, because of course the forehead skin changes just like skin elsewhere on the face and body. But on the forehead, those bumps can be quite visible compared with on the rest of the face. So unless you have a fringe, it can be a slightly challenging one to tolerate. But what is great is we now have protocols from Profhilo to use it with a cannula for the upper face, for the forehead. And for me, what's so important is that we know that however we're delivering it and injecting is going to give the results. And so now that they've shown us that's possible with cannula in the forehead, I think it's an excellent choice.
Okay. All right. So we've mentioned fillers a little bit. We've mentioned skin relaxers more, I guess. If we compare skin boosters to fillers, can you maybe run through the difference of the pair of them?
So whilst many skin boosters are made of hyaluronic acid, so let's take polynucleotides out of the equation here. So skin boosters, which are made of hyaluronic acid, and fillers are usually also made of hyaluronic acid, they're formulated very differently. So skin boosters, in the majority of cases, are made using non-cross-linked hyaluronic acid. So this means in the case of Profhilo, for example, it's been thermally stabilized to make it, it's a bit like the texture of runny honey. So it spreads out a little bit. It stays in the skin for between 2 and 3 weeks compared with your skin's natural hyaluronic acid, which is recycled within a matter of 24 to 48 hours. So it does last longer, but it's not designed to stay there for months and months, whereas fillers go through a process in a laboratory called cross-linking, which turns them into gels, which have a variety of different properties and makes them durable. So they last for a period of months to even up to a couple of years. So they're both using the same base ingredient, hyaluronic acid, but they're using it very differently. So fillers are designed to restore volume and shape in a face, whereas skin boosters are designed to change the appearance just through giving glow and radiance. And you can really feel it with putting makeup on, for example. So when I've had my skin boosting injections, whichever one I may have, I notice my makeup just goes on like a dream. My skin feels firm and hydrated. And I get lots of compliments on my skin. People saying, your skin's looking fabulous. What are you doing? But I'm not looking different. My skin just looks really good.
Really glowy. Yeah, you've got that glow. Yeah. So in terms of maintenance, another way of asking how long the results last, what are we talking about? And you have touched on this. So again, I'm imagining it's different maintenance, different results for different brands, but as a ballpark guide.
So with Profhilo, around 6 months or thereabouts, or with polynucleotides, sometimes even a bit longer, maybe 9 to 12 months. But what I would tend to do with my Profhilo, for example, is rather than waiting 6 months and having two sessions again, I will have a single one every 3 months just to maintain my results. You don't have to wait for everything to be gone before you do it again. You can just help to maintain your results so you have less peaks and troughs.
So what about PRP, platelet-rich plasma? Is that a skin booster?
It's different in that PRP isn't manufactured in a laboratory. It's something that comes from you, from your body. Mm-hmm. So say you have a patient come to clinic, we take the blood and then we use a machine called a centrifuge to spin it. And that causes the separation of the different components of the blood. And there's a part of it called the platelet-rich plasma, which we then harness and can inject. And once those platelets are exposed to your tissue, they release all these different substances, growth factors, and that can cause regeneration. It's usually a course of treatment, and we can get some really lovely results. That they can be brilliant for hair. They're great for skin immunity, helping reduce inflammation, brilliant for dark circles. But the results will vary dependent on the individual. So we can't easily, some hospitals have this ability to measure platelet function, but not even all hospitals do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how well my platelets are functioning or my next patient's platelets are functioning. And certainly if you smoke, it will have an impact. It will change depending on how much alcohol you've been drinking. So it can be maybe a little bit more variable.
Yeah. See, again, I was going to ask which is better. And I was going to say, which is better, the PRP, which sounds better because it can last for much longer and you're using your own blood, basically. So it seems more quote unquote natural. So is that better than the skin boosters? But I'm getting that because we're using our own blood, none of us know because we don't know the quality of what we need within our own blood.
It's again a matter of what's right for the individual. And this is why everything comes back to having a good and thorough consultation. There are some people who will feel far more comfortable with the idea of having something injected that is their own. And all of that has to come into the decision of what the right thing for that patient is. So what will give them the best result they can achieve and what is right for them as an individual.
And have you had PRP and what was your experience?
I did have it. It will have been around the time I first trained in it, because of course the hard thing for me is actually getting time with a colleague who can do treatments for me. And also I'm very time poor, so being as efficient with my time as possible. So I haven't had it for a long time, but I did have a very nice result from it, yes.
But you still, your main go-to there would be Profhilo, by the sounds of it.
Profhilo, polynucleotides, and I love Volite as well.
Okay.
polynucleotides for me around my eyes. Volite and Profilo, I have both in my skin around my whole face and my neck, and also Profilo on my décolletage. So I practice what I preach.
Yeah. There's also, I was going to ask about the hands and the tummy. Could you use it on the tummy? And I've actually heard some people have requested skin boosters to improve the skin on their bum. So which, in terms of other parts of the body, what would you go for?
So it really depends on what you're trying to achieve. The backs of the hands, yes, can absolutely be treated with skin boosters, as can knees that get crepey, upper arms, tummies, lots of different areas. And to the extent Profilo actually have a body product, which comes with these patches that you apply afterwards and a bigger syringe, because often the body areas are larger. In terms of on the bottom, there are some injectables for cellulite, and that's definitely a space I'm watching at the moment. But when it comes to skin quality around the bottom, it's tended more to be around biostimulators. So people used Sculptra for a long time, and now we have Lanluma and Lenisna, which can both be used on the body. So often these sort of biostimulatory products, rather than the skin boosters, are used on the body.
Okay. And do you see a trend towards more skin boosters? I think what I'm getting at is a lot of people still have only ever heard of a certain brand of wrinkle relaxer or fillers. And do you feel this is an education piece in terms of you need to get people understanding what these things are? Is that one of the reasons why people often might come to you and say, I just want to have my usual wrinkle relaxing injection, and it needs for you to go, actually, you're doing okay there. It might be the texture of your skin.
Yeah, I think there are more and more people becoming aware of the different things available. And it always takes a few years for these things to trickle through. And when we're talking about wrinkle relaxation, they've been available for a few decades now, and the same with certain types of fillers. So skin boosters in comparison are still newer to the game. I think there's a few things. One is around people understanding what skin boosters can do, that they're not going to lift in the way fillers do, or give the illusion of lift, should we say, volumization. And they're not going to do what wrinkle relaxers do in terms of adjusting for muscle strength. And this is what anyone who's had a consultation with me will understand, that I'm very much about treating aging in the different layers. There's not just one layer of our face, one part of our face that's aging. We're losing bone, we're losing fat. Some fat pads get fuller, but most of them get emptier. Some of our muscles become more hyperactive, others become weaker. And then, of course, we're losing collagen and elastin, which makes the skin more wrinkled and which makes us more lax on the surface. And really, to get best results over time, you need to be thinking about what's happening in each layer of the face. And of course, that varies from individual to individual. But this is why there's no one magic bullet treatment, and skin boosting injectables for many people form a great part of a holistic treatment plan.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess finally, can you describe the kind of client who you would immediately think they could do with a skin booster treatment? What sort of concerns would they be coming to you with, or what would you see on their face when you thought, oh, yeah, actually, I think you might do quite well?
So I guess when we're looking at the skin and it looks maybe a little bit lackluster, that can be one thing. If people are saying their skin feels quite dry or tight, then skin boosters can be a great addition. If you've got signs of a loss of elasticity, think a few more fine lines, then again, some skin boosters could be a great option. Anyone who doesn't have time to give their skin a regular MOT, like having regular medical grade facials, then skin boosters can be a great choice. If people are wanting good results, impressive results, but with less recovery time. And it's also just sometimes people who are looking to switch things up a bit, whether that's been the treatments they've been having or people who've fallen into skincare ruts, sometimes it's just really important to reevaluate. So really, I always say that my joy from treating my patients comes from working with them over many years. But of course, their face and their needs don't stay the same for many years. And so it's important to realize that just because you started off having three areas of wrinkle relaxant doesn't mean that 5 years down the line that's still the only right treatment for you. It might be important to reevaluate and reprioritize.
Amazing. This has been such a great chat. And I'm so glad we ran through all of this because I had no idea there were so many choices and options available. So, Sophie, thank you.
Thank you, V.
And that ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.